Okay, so last week we started the chapter two, and it started from inside the fish, you know. And what a place to pray, right? What a place to be. And but what really is amazing about this, that when you hear that someone, when Jonah, who just joined us, is inside the fish, we automatically think it's over, it's done, right? Okay, when someone is swallowed by a fish, we think it's over, and rightfully so, but not to God. You know, this might seem to be like prison, death to some people, or to all of us, but to God, this is the start of life. Prison might be horrible and, you know, very limiting to so many people, to everyone, but to Paul and to his friend, this was a joyful occasion because they were not only praising God, but they were having others praise God with them, you know. So a lot of times, what I want to try to get to really quick is, a lot of times we find ourselves in the belly of the fish, inside the fish. A lot of times we find ourselves in places where we feel like this is it. This is the end. I will not be able to survive this. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in this place? Mm-hmm. How often do we feel that? And let me tell you, it could be something very small that the enemy made it really huge, or something very big that we go through, but God can still use that. We all go through it. And let me tell you the good news today. We're all going to go through it again and again and again. Okay? This is good news. You should be happy with this, right?
Right.
And that's not my words. It says it in James, that consider it all joy when you go through troubles and tribulations. Okay? When you find yourself in the belly of the fish, when you find yourself in that place of darkness, the place where you lose complete control, or the place that you're all by yourself, or the place that it's there is no hope, that you can't do anything with your own power, actually, this is an amazing place to be. And the best response to that place is pray. The best thing that we can get out of this place is to pray. So we see Jonah inside the fish praying. And I pray that inside your fish right now, inside whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is we're going through, you know, we really had a tough week. And I'll just leave it at that until I come and share with you our praise reports. But we had a tough week. And we found ourselves praying again and again and again. We found ourselves that just like there's, okay, the only person that can help right now is only God. And that's good. That's a great place to be. Because it's very comforting that now you stopped looking at your resources, stopped looking at what's going around you, and you're just focused all of your attention and all of your effort on God. You know, we see Jonah learning that it wasn't the sailors to blame for him being thrown out of the boat. It wasn't the person next to me. This is not Dina's fault, okay? This is not my husband's fault. This is not my boss's fault. This is not the society's fault. Let's call it what it is. God allowed me to go through this to help me, to fix me, to make change come into my life and into my heart. This is a big change in his life and in his attitude, you know? And we see him here that things are surrounding him, things that are going, you know, like he's almost done, he's almost about like losing his life, but at the same time, we see him praising God. And that's what happens when we replace our fears with God, when we replace our doubts with the word of God, when we replace our surroundings with who God is. And instead of listening to the voices, we talked about that last time, and instead of listening to the voices of the enemy, we listen to what? We listen to God's promises. Mm-hmm. Today we're starting in verse 7, and when it says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord. And my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple.
So we've been talking about like the rock bottom moment that Jonah had. And it seems to be getting worse and worse for Jonah. It's getting, remember, and we spoke about it, I think it was in verse 5, where it seems like he's going deeper and deeper. He feels the weight of and the pressure that's happening just from the depths of the ocean that he's dealing with. We talked about yesterday or last week what type of whale this was and what type of whale we thought it might be and how really that ties into so much of the story. And we'll see that at the end in verse 10 here, where this whale exhibits something that we know is characteristic of it. But really in verse 7, this is rock bottom. He feels his life is fading away. He feels like he's about to die. And it says, "And it was then that I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you." So two things about that. He remembered the Lord in that moment because there was nothing else. There was absolutely nothing else left. Jonah had reached his end. Jonah had reached the end of his rope, if you will. Jonah was at a place where all that was left was for him to go to God because there was nothing else he can do. It was likely at this moment, probably around the third day. I mean, remember, he had been in there for 3 days. We're kind of getting a little glimpse just in a few verses of what was happening, but Jonah was in there for 3 days, likely feeling like he was suffocating in a very dark, smelly, awful place, thinking he's going to die. And so it says here that it was at that moment that Jonah remembered the Lord. And sometimes it's really hard to remember God and remember the things that God has done for us and the things that God has done in our life when we're at a really horrible and ugly place. How many of you know that? But it's not so easy sometimes when you're at a terrible place to be like, oh yeah, I remember what God has done. I remember what he's done in my life. I remember what he did when way back then, when I was really in trouble and I needed him and he came through. It's hard to remember that when you're in rock bottom moments. But Jonah here captures this moment and says, I am going to remember who God is. And it was like this was a turning point in his prayer. It was like as soon as it said, I remembered you, I remembered what you can do. I remembered the kind of miracles you've performed. I remember he's probably thinking about the things that God has done with Israel and the things that God has done with his people. I mean, imagine the history that's flashing into Jonah's mind about what God did. Remember what God has done. Do you and I remember what God has done when things are tough? We should. You know, it's one of the reasons I journal. I journal things that God has done in our life. Typically, I journal the moments I've met the Lord, the moments God has given me, you know, those revelation moments or those moments of great miracles or those moments that are clearly just moments of the Lord. I write those down so that when times are hard, I can go back to them and remind. Sometimes I'm just reminding myself. I'm not telling God anything. He already knows. But I'm reminding myself of who God is. And it says here, Jonah says, I remembered you. And then what happened? And my prayer rose to you. And that's the second part. Remember what God originally said to Jonah? What did he say? What was the word he used? Do you remember? Arise. He said to Jonah, arise and go to these people and do what I've called you to do. Tell them what I've called you to tell them. And what did Jonah do instead? He didn't go up. He went down, 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 kept going down, down to one place, down to Joppa, down to the bottom of the ship, down to the ocean, down to the depths of the sea. It's all going down. And it says here, but my prayer did what? It rose. It went up to you. And the first thing that we start seeing going up to the Lord is prayer. It's amazing. It is the thing God's waiting for us to talk to him. God's waiting for us to acknowledge his presence in our life and his placement in our life. And prayer is a really great way to do that. And it caused Jonah to begin to rise up, because the first thing that rose in Jonah here is his prayer. And it's exactly what God had called him to do.
And you know, so there is a reality in this life. Look at the first part of the verse where it says, when my life was ebbing away. Okay, the reality of this life, that it's declining. Every minute we live here, it makes us closer to eternity than the minute before. Tomorrow, I am one day closer to eternity than yesterday. And it will keep going that way. It will keep happening that way. So life is declining, whether we like it or not, right? Life is full of uncertainties, okay? Whether we like it or not, it is. And that might lead us to depression, because I'm getting closer to eternity, or I'm getting closer to my death, or getting closer to, you know, or I'm in this life that's so unstable and so uncertain. It could lead to depression unless we remember the Lord. Unless we remember that we have the rock that never changes. Mm-hmm. Unless we remember that we have solid promises in a world that is full of shaky things happening around us. Unless we remember that God didn't only guarantee our life here, but he also guaranteed our eternity with him. Unless we remember that our every day that we spend here on this earth, it's not making us closer to our death. It's getting us closer to our eternal life, you know? So when we remember that this life is fading away, that all the things that we have here are going to be gone one way or another, that everything is uncertain, unstable, we need to remember God. Otherwise, we're going to fall into depression. Otherwise, we're going to fall into, like, what's the point? You know, life is too short. Okay, great. What are you going to do with that time? What are we going to do with that time? He remembered God. From against all the uncertainty of life, we need a certain and solid God. We need certain and solid promises to stand on. Remember here, he remembered God. He was still inside the fish and he remembered God, right? What is our excuse? The 405, the 105, what is our excuse? What makes us so grumpy that we forget God, okay, and remember other things? You know, the other day, 2 weeks ago, we were at a basketball game, and this kid was so cocky and just so prideful. I literally wanted to go down and just, you know, teach him a lesson. I was so, so upset. And then 2 days later, while I was praying, I was like, why didn't I pray during that time? Why didn't I pray when that ref was horrible? You know, why didn't I pray? Like, why do I give into the surroundings? Why do I give into these things? And that's a silly example, but it happens to us at work. It happens to us at home. It happens to us on the road. It happens to us so many times. Jonah here is inside of a fish and he is remembering God. There is no excuse for us not to remember God, not to remember his goodness on our life. Not only he remembered God, but he spoke to God and prayed to God. This is amazing. This is really, really amazing. So the question is, how is our prayer life? Does our prayer life depend on what we have, where we are, how we're feeling? Or we're like David, where he says, I'm just a prayer. I'm always praying. This is who I am. When things are good, I'm praying. When things are bad, I'm praying. When things are tough, I'm praying. When during victories, I'm praying. When I lose, I pray. When I win, I pray. How's our prayer life? Is it something we do because we're around Christians? Or is it something we do because we're always around God? There is a big difference. There are those who pray when they're around believers, and those who pray because they're around God. And that's the type I pray that we would be in, that we pray because we're always around God, because I'm feeling his presence around me all day long. You know, it would be very hard for Dina not to talk to me when we're in the same room. She doesn't stop. You know, really, we're talking all the time. You know, it's amazing. I love it. I'm not saying anything bad about it. This is great. But it's so hard. But can you imagine if Dina's by herself in the room and just talking to herself? It happens. But can you, like, if it happens and people see it, it would, you know. But when you feel someone's presence with you and you're someone in the room, you communicate. Mm-hmm. This is my point here. Jonah didn't just remember God and reminded himself of God, but he is talking to God because he felt God's presence. And this is really good. It really touched me. His prayers went up even though he couldn't stand up. When Jonah was in his full strength, when he was receiving revelations from God, when he was receiving the Great Commission from God, when he was doing all of that, or when he was like healthy, had money, knew where to go, what to do, unfortunately, his prayers didn't rise up. He actually went down. Sometimes being inside the fish, sometimes being unable to move, losing control, not wanting, not knowing what to do or where to go, sometimes this is one of the best blessings in our lives. You know why? Because now we have no options but to pray. I pray for all of us that we would pray while we're standing up, just as much as we pray when we're falling down. I pray that we pray when we're receiving revelations, just as much as we don't hear anything and see anything. I pray that we would learn to pray at all seasons, not only during the seasons of distress. Not only that he remembered God, but also his prayers, listen to this. He said, where did it go? Lord, my God, rose to you, to your holy temple. Where was Jonah during that moment? He was in the belly of the fish. Somehow he found himself praying. Somehow he found himself in God's holy temple. The belly of the fish can isolate us physically, but cannot isolate our spirit. Do you remember someone by name John? He was isolated in this very, very tough island. And when I say island, I don't mean Hawaii, okay? It was a tough island where they put the worst prisoners in it, right? That was the place that he was taken away as a prisoner. But all of a sudden, he found himself where? He found himself in heaven, looking at all God's glory, looking at the new city, looking at the city that is paved with gold and diamond and all of that good stuff. All of a sudden, yeah, you can keep my body here, but my spirit is somewhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what happened to Jonah, and I pray that this is what happened to us during those moments when we are in the belly of the fish, when we are in this place of despair, this place of difficulties, this place when we are isolated, the place where we feel like we're prisoners to the circumstances we have. I pray that even if the body is there, that our spirit would go to the temple of the Holy God, mm-hmm. that our spirit, that we would let our spirit free to go with him. But it will start with remembering God. It will start with praying and communicating with God. And all of a sudden you will find yourself no longer prisoner. Just like Paul and Sila, they were no longer prisoners. They were singing, they were worshiping, they were having a great time. Good enough that made all the people around them, I don't want to call them prisoners at this point, they're no longer prisoners, that it made all the people around them praise and worship. Where were they? Were they at a mega church? Were they at a mega concert? No. Physically, they were in prison. But spiritually, they were having the greatest concert there is. That can happen to you, that can happen to me, when we pray, when we remember God. Can you read it?
Okay, and in verse 8, it says, those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them.
Okay, so after, that's another blessing. That's another blessing of being in the belly of the fish. That's the another blessing of being in isolation. That's another blessing of being in pain, right? That we learn that to examine our heart, to examine our history, to examine everything, and this is the conclusion. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. This is a conclusion that only the belly of the fish will provide for us. You know, he saw that, what idols did I have? What stopped me from doing God's will in my life? Really, the job, was it that important? The car, the house, the relationship, the career, what was it that fits this description of an idol in our life? You know, when I read this, I remembered I used to preach at Sunday schools and youth meetings, and we used to always tell the kids, break your idols. Find the idols in your life and break them, right? And I thought this was a youth meeting type of message. But honestly, the more I grow up, I feel like the more idols we're building. This is not a message just for the youth or for Sunday school kids. This is a message for all of us. Because as we grow, some of these idols will grow. As we grow, some of these idols will increase. And some of them are way more sneakier than the others. Mm. But Jonah here in the belly of the fish finds out that those who cling to worthless idols, first of all the idols are worthless. They're not going to help in any way. They're not going to benefit in any way. And one day, it's all going to be gone. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we cling to these things. We might think we have control over it, but we don't. Unless God sets us free.
Do you want to touch a little bit on why sometimes, Hassan, we can cling to these things? Do you have any thoughts as to why? I mean, obviously, I didn't prepare this in advance, but I'm just thinking out loud here.
So you just throw questions at me? That's how we do each other?
Throwing questions at you mid-air.
So should we do that Sunday morning too?
I know, I like it. Stand up.
I just had a smart comeback for you right now, but I'm going to save it.
Oh, I know what you were going to say.
I'm going to save that for a one-on-one, you and me. But anyway.
What do you
think? I know what you were going to say.
All right. I think that idols can appear to be attractive because they're tangible, they're physical, and they appeal to the five senses. Whereas sometimes in our relationship with God, there are those moments, for one reason or another, the presence of God isn't as tangible. Mm.
Very good.
Sometimes it's because of my own sin that, you know, I can't enjoy the presence of God. And other times, it's because God is trying to train me in a specific area, and he wants me to not rely so much on the senses. He wants me to mature. But in either case, the constant, continual presence of God isn't always in my life. So these tangible idols then become a surrogate. Yeah. And I'm just thinking about the story when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and Moses was gone for 40 days, and they told Aaron, make us an idol, right? They said, make us a calf. And they all said together, this is the God that brought you up out of Egypt. Like, how can you say that after all the miracles that you saw? It's easier to be drawn to something tangible when you can't always sense the presence of God. So this is something I need to train my mind and my heart with, to not to be drawn to the tangible things, because it's so easy to do so, especially when we're bombarded and surrounded by all these tangible temporal things.
That's so good. That's excellent.
That's excellent. Actually, we were having this conversation a couple of weeks ago about the story that I read. There is this little village in India that has prophets, okay? Like, I don't know, like what kind of religion they are. It's not obviously not, you know, just like they worship cows and all of that stuff, you know? But in this little city, people stand in line for 3 to 5 days to meet one of those prophets, just to meet them, just so they can touch them or push them, or I don't know what they do to them, you know, whatever it is. But when I was reading it, it just, like I was reading the story, people are so desperate for something tangible, something to see, you know? And what we were talking about is, why can't we as Christians become that something tangible for God? We become actual ambassadors for God. That's what the verse in Corinthians, right? That we are ambassadors for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Because if Egypt, if I'm hearing about Egypt, and there is no Egyptian, bless you, Egyptian presence here through the embassy or the consulate and the ambassador and all of that, there are no relationships, you know? But Egypt, to have relationships with the United States, they have an ambassador, they have an embassy, they have a place that represents the Egyptian, the Egyptian government, right? We need to be that tangible thing that people can see. Not that they would worship us, but so we can lead them to worship the living God. You know, idols, I think that being tangible, and also just there is so much propaganda around the idols, because it's all controlled by the enemy, right? So look at the media, look at everything around us. They make you feel like if you buy this new car, you will be like, your hair is gonna be flowing, even if you don't have hair at all, but your hair is gonna be flowing, and all of a sudden you have muscles, and you know, you're going to these places that don't even exist. Like, where do you find a place that has like this one lane and there's no traffic at all? You know, like they know how to play on your emotions. So they can build that idol of that wanting to do something. All of the idols that are around us, are the enemy is so good at making them look really good for us, you know? And they push on one area or another to that the enemy knows we're desperate for, right? The enemy knows that we have a little bit of insecurity in, right? And he pushes and he shoves those idols, and then we cling to them. And then, but Jonah here finds out when he's in that moment that they're all worthless idols. And here is the worst part about them. The worst part about them, that they turn us away from God's love for us. That's the worst part about idols. It doesn't turn God away from us. It turns us away from God's love. So God's love is right here coming to say, come, I'm going to give you this and this and this. I'm going to make you this and this. I'm going to be this for you and this for you. And then here comes the worthless idol right here, if you can see it. And instead of me looking at God and following God, I turn away and follow the worthless idol. This is a conclusion that someone got when he was in the belly of the fish. Mm. This is a conclusion that we get during those times when we feel like it's all gone. I'm telling you, this was a blessing for Jonah. This is a blessing for all of us when we go through that. Okay, no, verse 9.
Verse 9, it says, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Okay, couple of things here. Jonah is speaking about what he's going to do in the future. That's part of what he's saying here, because he talks about, I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Can you think with me for a second what Jonah may have been referring to when he says that he will say salvation comes from the Lord? Any thoughts on like what that means, why he would say that? I think he's talking about what he's about to say to the Ninevites. And so he's in the belly of the fish, okay? And it's during this moment, he's speaking about what he's going to do in the future. As far as he knows, he's dying. But here, there's a moment, it says, but I, it's like all of a sudden, God gave him the promise that he was going to be saved from the belly of the fish and was going to go to Nineveh, was going to do what he was supposed to do, which is saying to the Ninevites, salvation comes from the Lord, doing what God asked him to do. Jonah here is speaking faith in a very dark situation. He's in a very dark situation. He's still in the belly of a fish, because it's the next verse where we find out the fish vomited him out. He's still in the belly of a fish, but he's speaking faith about what he's going to do outside of that moment. That's what happens when we draw close to God in prayer and our rock bottom moments. We're given, hope is injected into our life. Faith is injected into our life. We begin to see completely outside of ourselves and outside of our circumstances. And Jonah, not only did he see outside of himself and outside of his circumstances, he saw his purpose. It was the thing that God had been calling him to do. And as far as Jonah may have been concerned in the moment, I mean, you know, what I would think if I were Jonah is, man, I blew it. I blew it. This is over. I'm in the belly of the fish. I ran from God and from what God had for me. And this is it. I'm going to die. He didn't know God was going to command the fish to spit him out. But even in that moment, gosh, God restored him. God restored him and gave him the faith to know that he would one day be back out there on dry land, walking in his purposes for his life, that God has called for his life, arising and walking in the purpose that God has for him. Even when things were super, super dark, Jonah was speaking with so much faith right here, because he saw past what was happening to him in the present.
You know, not only that, but you see the change in a believer right here. You know, you see the change in his life. He started this portion with distress, darkness, death, all of that, right? The water that's surrounding me, suffocating and all of that. Right now we see the progress of a believer that turns his life, turns his eyes, turns his voice, turns his attention, turns his mind, turns everything to God. It starts with death, just like what happened on Friday. And then it ends with rejoicing and then victory. In verse 6, do you guys remember what we said in verse 6? It says, but you, Lord, brought my life up. And then now in verse 9, it says this, but I. Okay? It starts verse 6, but you, Lord, brought my life up. And if you were able to experience this, but you, Lord, brought my life up, it will be easy for you and for me to say, but I will with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. You cannot experience verse 9 mm-hmm. and say, but I will praise without first experiencing God bringing our life up. We love him because he loved us first. It's not the other way around. Unless we experience the love of God, unless we are showered with the love of God, we won't be able to love. Unless we experience the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, we won't be able to reciprocate that to others. Unless we experience the joy of the Lord, the joy of his salvation, we won't be able to praise him and love him. Salvation comes from the Lord. It comes to everyone. This is a new revelation for Jonah. It comes to everyone. So it's not just to the Israelites. Mm-hmm. It's to the Israelites, to the Ninevites, to the Egyptians, to the everyone around that time. People from Babylon, everyone. salvation comes from the Lord. And if it's coming from the Lord, it's coming for his name and to all of his children. But right now, Jonah himself is tasting God's salvation. He is tasting and seeing God's salvation. Please pay attention to this part because this is very important to all of us. He tasted and saw God's salvation. Mm-hmm. And one huge aspect of God's salvation is that it's something that God loves so much. He loved it so much that he gave his only son to make it happen. And he loves it so much that he wants to give it to everyone. And Jonah had that taste, that the taste of salvation is not just for him, it's for everyone. Because that's one of the most unique things about salvation, that it's not just for me. That as soon as I tasted, I realized that this is for everyone. I love it when Dina gets something, you know, she knows I love coconut, for example, okay? And if she tastes a new cookie that has a little bit of coconut, right away, without hesitation, she goes, you have to taste this. I know you love it. I know you will love it because it has coconut. Same here. If I know she likes something, you give it to someone because you know they love it, right? Mm-hmm. Jonah here tasted salvation, tasted God's redemption, tasted God's goodness. And all of these things, big part of them is that they're for everyone. Just as God was good to me, mm-hmm. He is good to you, he is good to him, he is good to her, he is good to everyone. So as soon as I taste that goodness, as soon as I taste that salvation, as soon as I taste his mercy and his strength, I cannot help but give it to others. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because as soon as that salvation works in my heart and the mercy of God work on my heart, it changes me from a taker to a giver. Mm-hmm. It changes me from isolating to myself and being self-centered to Christ-centered. And a Christ-centered person gives as much as Christ gives. Mm-hmm. Does it make sense, or am I not being, I feel like I'm not connecting.
Totally.
The dots. But it's so important to taste it so I can share it with others. So Jonah here tasted that salvation comes from the Lord. He was able to praise. He was able to offer sacrifices to the Lord. And what sacrifices he was able to offer? Just his praise, his thankful heart, mm-hmm. his grateful heart. He wasn't going to do something or, you know, he was just offering his thankful heart and offering vows to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know what, Lord? From now on, whatever it is you want me to do, I am all yours. I am all yours. And then in verse 10, it says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah into dry land. What a powerful and wonderful picture this is, that this giant, that this massive giant of a whale is obeying every word from God. Listen, the whale you're in right now, or the whale that's bothering you, or the giant that's facing you, I know it seems really big, and I know it seems out of control, and I know it seems like it's unbeatable or unbreakable, whatever it is that you want to call it. Right? But that whale, that giant, is and will listen to every word mm-hmm. from God. God will command that giant you're facing, or that giant that's bothering you, or that giant that's crushing you. God will command that giant to do his will. And that giant has no options other than listening to what God is saying. Take that with you today. I'm taking that with me today.
There's another version of this where it says, and the Lord spoke to the fish. I mean, I love commanded the fish, but spoke to the fish is like a very interesting way of putting it. Because it's as Asam said, these whales that swallow us up in the misery of rock bottom, okay, feel like they're unbeatable, feel like they're too big. I mean, I don't know, has anybody ever seen like a really, like a blue whale, or has anybody ever gone whale watching? Anybody raise your hand if you have. Okay, so we've gone whale watching before, and it is, we've actually gone whale watching as we were parasailing before. And it is, it's actually terrifying, okay? It's a terrifying, so I mean, I don't recommend you do it, but it is the most massive creature you've ever seen. It's just so big. And it's so big that it kind of takes your breath away for a second, makes you feel like you just can't believe what you're looking at, you know? And sometimes those whales, you know, the metaphoric whales in our life feel so big. They feel so overwhelming and hard to believe, hard to wrap your mind around. You know, like when something like that feels like kind of a disaster that's happened in your life happens, you kind of feel paralyzed. Like you can't eat and you can't sleep and you can't think about it, and your stomach's in knots and everything's wrong. Everything's been turned upside down. I mean, the fact that, look at this, he commanded the fish, he spoke to the fish. What, how massive and great must our Lord be to be able to do that? And it's really a very reassuring thing. It's a reassuring thing. If you're in the whale right now, if you're going through it, you know, just remember that God has the exact thing that whale needs to hear. And that has the exact words that whale needs to hear to be commanded to do what's best for you.
And the other thing is that whale was not moving around on his own, right? That whale was going around. Sometimes we feel like it's up and down, right and left. We feel like it's so random and there is no control. There is no direction. Wrong. Yeah. That is absolutely wrong. At the right time, at the right place, Jonah arrived to his destination, and at the right time and at the right place, you and I will arrive to our destination, and our destination that God had for us. Nothing is happening to you and to me right now is random. I'm gonna tell you this right now. Nothing that's happening to us is random. God has it all under control, even that giant whale. Trust me. That's not his regular route. That's not his regular destination. God is telling him. God is telling that boss. God is telling that neighbor. God is telling that child. God is telling that cousin, that family member. God is telling that virus. God is telling that disease. God is telling everything what to do and where to go. Yeah. And at the right time and in the right place, we will reach the destination that God has for us. Finally, Jonah arrives to dry land. Remember how he was trying to escape from God in the seas? All right, well, God now brings him back to that dry land. He brings him back to point A. Let's do this again. Now, what are you going to do, Jonah? Are you going to run away again? Are you going to think that you can hide from me? Are you going to think you're too good for me, or salvation is too good for everyone? Do we need to send another shark this time, or another whale, or did we learn our we learned our lesson? We'll see what happens in chapter 3. But I pray today that, number one, I pray that we would not stop praying, and we would actually start, you know, communicating with God, and not to pray during church time or during, you know, when we're around believers, but we would change our prayer time because we're around God all the time. You know, I have said the Lord always, always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be moved. I will not be shaken. There is a constant conversation between us and God. You know, life has a lot of uncertainties, has a lot of things that will end, but it's so good. That shouldn't depress us, that should make us happy, because we are clinging, not to worthless idols, but we are clinging to God. And every day I spend here, it makes me closer to my eternity with God. Every day I live here, but let's make it worth it. Let's make those days worth it. And then, are we praising God? Are we tasting and letting others taste his goodness by our praise and worship and grateful heart and our testimonies, our commitment to his word and to the things that we vowed to do for him as he has done it for us? Are we sharing what we received, or are we just still living a self-centered life? And finally, nothing is happening to us is random. God has it all under control. At the right time is coming, the right place is coming as well. And that's our study for today. So please share with us or comment or ask questions to Pastor Albert, anything you want.
And I just wanted to emphasize that last part that Dina was saying, because it was kind of good. the disciples had the same idea, you know, when they were right there in the boat and they're looking at Jesus speaking to the wind and the waves. And they were saying, like, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And it brought me to the centurion, where he came before Jesus and he said, you know what? You don't even need to go there. Just speak your word and I know my servant will be made well. And I think a part, what we need to take and kind of let it saturate our heart, is that God is always speaking over our lives. And those words, they never come back void or empty. His words are always sent out and it will produce fruit. And it will bring freedom, and it causes us to stand in awe of his marvelous work in our life, so that we in turn, like the disciples, say, who is this God that even the wind or the circumstances or the situations of our life shift by the sound of his voice? And we got to remember that it was his voice that created everything that we see. Mm-hmm. His word was sent out and the universe was created. So wow, how big is this God? How big is this God?
You know, the part that amazes me is that God was willing to hear him, even though Jonah really didn't have many options.
Yeah, right.
He was kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So you guys mentioned the word, he hit rock bottom. And it wasn't like God says, well, it's too late because you're already at rock bottom. You really don't have any options here.
Yeah.
Even though God was his only option, God still accepted that prayer.
Yep.
So even when we get to the place where we have been pushing, 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 but I come to a place where I just finally give in, God hears that prayer. Yep. Amazing.
Good. Okay. Anyone else? Jonah, do you have anything to say? We've been talking about you the whole time.
No input, just a lot of good information, a lot of good stuff, absorbing it all. I'm a receiver right tonight, not a giver.
But did we get it right?
What's that?
I said, did we get it right?
Well, based on the black screen, I think we did get it right.
Did all right. Did all right.
All right.
I love, if I can point out one thing, what you said earlier about the people in our lives, and sometimes it's like we go through things and you know, being upset or complaining, it's to pray for them and pray for those situations, but especially for them, no matter who they are, whether they're believers, non-believers, or whatever it is, but to actually pray for them and lift them up.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, okay, everyone.
Someone pray us out.
Yeah, and chapter 3 next week.
Yes, chapter 3 next week. Pastor Edwin, you want to pray for us?
All right. Thank you, Father God, for being who you are, Lord. For your amazing grace that are covering us every single time. For your mercies that are so new every single morning, Lord. For your protection that we have, that we receive from you. The provisions that we receive from you. Give you, Lord, all the praise, Lord, and all the glory to you. To recognize who we serve. It's so amazing to be a servant to you because of who you are. And thank you for giving us the word that compiled everything in our lives that we have to follow. And in this chapter, Lord, as we learn that we have to speak faithfulness, the faith, that everything is going to become a reality. And I give you, Lord, our families, Lord. I ask you to bless every single family that is presenting here. Give us a good rest of the night, Lord, and bless us the next day, and bless everyone. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, everyone.
Amen. Thank you.